You're listening to Illinois Edition. I'm Rachel Otwell. Joining us now is a group of parents we're going to be calling the P Units. Hope that's okay with you guys.
Sure.
We've put together a roster of moms and a dad or two who will join us on Illinois Edition to take on issues that matter to those of us trying to successfully raise children in these crazy modern times. I myself have a two-year-old at home, and little fun fact about that, I'm pretty open about the fact my daughter was a surprise because I was already 5 months pregnant when I found out she had decided to come into the world. So maybe we'll get into that someday. But for now, I want to introduce the lovely group of women from around the state who are joining us today. In studio, we have Kelly Wickham Hurst, a Springfield local who's a mother of six, a former classroom teacher, and a current middle school administrator. She also has an awesome blog she calls Mocha Mama. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Also in studio today is Kim Leisner. She runs SpringfieldMoms.org and has two daughters, ages 11 and 13, and she's now an executive brand manager for a major digital learning company. Thanks for coming in to join us today, Kim.
Thank you, Rachel.
And lastly, from Northern Illinois, is Najima McIntyre. She's the mother of two. And Najima, your kids have quite a difference in age. Is that right?
That is correct. I have a 22-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Wow. And you also balance all this with being a student at Northern Illinois University. Is that right?
That is correct.
Well, so I thought a good way to get started today is for us to all talk a little bit about our parenting styles. So I'll start, and obviously I just have the one, and she's still pretty young, so a lot of what I do is try and combat my type A personality and try not to be the helicopter parent everyone seems to criticize. So I try to balance letting my kid get into a painting project or the sandbox and make a mess while still getting her involved in cleaning up and trying to impart some sense of responsibility, if that's even possible for a two-year-old. And I grew up with younger siblings, including step-siblings, so I think that helped me realize sometimes the best you can do for your kids is just not screw them up. So many of us and our kids are part of blended families these days, and I think it takes a lot of mindfulness just to keep the peace and make sure everyone feels secure and loved. So anyway, I think based on what you told one of our producers, Najima, you might have a little stricter style than me. You call it old school with a twist. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, I know, you know, when I was growing up, you know, you kind of stayed in your place. You didn't have a lot of freedom, so to speak. Not even in your home. Like, your room was your freedom. You didn't sit around grown people talking. I kind of still have those same virtues and values that I teach my son. It's rude to interrupt people without saying, excuse me. And I think those are just, you know, core values, not something that I just, you know, pulled out of the air and just decided that this is what my children would do. But when I say with a twist is that, you know, some questioning of your parents is fine with me because I understand that children are inquisitive and you don't want to shut them down like immediately. My sisters and I laugh a lot now about the way my mom raised us because, you know, we just simply tell her now she was a dream killer. Like, we had all these wonderful, magical ideas, and she would be like, no. Like, no explanation, no reasons why. She would always tell us we can do anything we want, but when it came to, like, doing it, she was like, well, how do you think you're going to do that? You know? So with my kids, I just want them to know whatever they want to do, they can do it. Now, all they have to do is come up with a plan. And if it's solid enough, even if it's not solid enough, I would support them no matter what.
Kim, you have two adolescent daughters. Talk a little bit about your parenting style and what discipline looks like in your household.
Sure. And Najima, I really enjoyed your story. I could relate a lot to that and how I grew up. I'm pretty similar to you in terms of being old school. And I think, you know, you just have to model hard work and discipline to be able to enforce it. They really need that structure and they really respond well to structure, and you can do all that and still provide a very supportive and you can do anything, I support your dreams sort of environment. So I've tried to blend both, where there's a pretty strict structure to our household and consequences for actions and rewards for good behavior. I don't micromanage the girls. They're both in junior high, and you know, it's up to them to keep track of what homework they have every night, whether or not they get it done. I think as long as you set those standards and then model them yourself, they certainly see me doing the same in my work ethic with my professional career and my volunteer obligations and everything, that I'm doing what I'm asking them to do. Doesn't mean it works all the time, though.
Okay, can I just say, as the school person here, I appreciate what you said about not micromanaging your kids for school, like giving them the opportunity. That actually makes our job easier.
And right. I was wondering, Kelly, definitely as a parent who has this education background, a school administrator, does that flavor your parenting style?
Absolutely, yeah. As a guidance counselor, we talk about everything. We talk about all of our problems. Although I will say I'm very much like Najima as well, old school. What I say goes when they were younger, and then as they got older, and they're all adults now. There was a lot of talking, though, and I didn't realize until the last one, who was very different, and he's a child that's on the spectrum, that I didn't realize how much I had to change my parenting for that kid.
Is that the autism spectrum you're talking
Correct,
about?
Correct, yeah. He's got what's called executive dysfunction, so it's the part of your brain that does all the organizing. So if I were to tell all the kids, everybody get in the van, and we're going to go to the bank, and we're going to drop off the dog to the groomers, and then we're going to go to the grocery store. If I drop the dog off first, he would lose it. And then he came along, and I thought, he needs a whole lot more. I need to build, you know, I need to stagger some things here, or I've got to let him know what we're going to do. Otherwise, he couldn't really function.
And so how do your other kids react, though, when you're having to adapt just for one child?
They did not like it, and they thought that I was babying him, which is funny because they sort of babied him because he was the youngest anyway. So until they understood and until we got our diagnoses, it was a very difficult parenting, me parenting him one way and then me parenting them another, and also explaining to them how I was parenting him.
This is Illinois Edition. I'm Rachel Otwell. I'm joined now by a panel of moms for a new series we're calling P Units, where we hear from parents all over the state of Illinois about issues of the day as well as age-old parenting dilemmas. And ladies, I wanted to switch gears and talk about an item that's been in the news for months now. For instance, a transgender student fought District 211 up in Northern Illinois for access to the girls' locker room. That was a transgender student who had transitioned from male to female, wanted to be able to change in the locker room with the rest of the girls, eventually got that access, had to use a more private area of the locker room, but that access was granted. And as Dusty Rhodes reported earlier in the program, we heard about a student who was born female and now identifies as male and wanted to use the male restroom. And Kelly, you were the one who pitched this idea to one of our producers as something to talk about. I imagine as a school administrator, it's something that you've heard the kids even talking about.
They are in 6th through 8th grade, so that's about 11 through 14. They're so much better connected than we were at that age, and they absolutely know that this is in the news. I visited an 8th grade classroom today where they're doing a writing sample. And in doing so, they had to get some talking points out of the way first. And when they did, the teacher invited me up to come and listen. And she said, you should really hear them talking about this thing that's going to affect them, which I thought was a really powerful thing to say. And they don't really see as much of an issue with it as the adults do. And so many of them are like, this is really not a big deal. Most of us don't care. But that's also a classroom with a transgender person in it who doesn't want me to refer he or she, but now I use the pronoun they. It was really interesting to hear all of them talking about it. And it wasn't that they were trying to spare anyone else's feelings. They just don't understand what the big deal is. They see family bathrooms or family restrooms in public places all the time that they know that a person of a different gender has used, and that's not been an issue for them. They had a lot of questions as to what this actually meant. Is this something that someone has an agenda for, because we don't really care.
Najima, is this anything, you know, that you've been considering at all?
You know, they've been kind of talking about what this means for public schools as a whole. so far in the kindergarten room, we haven't seen that or directly, but they have been mentioning, you know, having meetings and having discussions with our children. And right now, I'm really not comfortable with talking to my six-year-old about that, only because it's not going to affect him right away. And these are things that kids need to kind of like experience. So I don't want to put it in his lap and say, what are you going to do with this? I would rather him bring it to me. Even if he doesn't bring it up, eventually we'll have to have the conversation because that'll be what's going on at school.
Well, and I'm sure you have taken him into the women's bathroom with you at six, right?
Oh, plenty of times.
Right. And so that's not an issue.
Before six, because like now he's like, he don't want to go in there with me.
Right.
So I'm okay with that.
Right.
But then I have to stand outside the men's room and call his name and make sure he's responding, you know, that kind of thing.
Which is scary sometimes.
Yeah.
Only because they're in there with strangers, not because they're in there with transgender people.
And so, Kim, you have two adolescent daughters. Is the idea of one of them sharing a locker room with a student who was born male but now identifies as female? What would be your take on that, for instance?
Locker room versus bathroom, I think, is a bit more significant. You know, in the bathroom, there is a private space. And I agree with you, Kelly, that from the kids' perspective, it's not as big of a deal that they would be more comfortable with it. I do think the locker room issues are going to get trickier. So that, you know, but there's just so much more exposure and not as much privacy in that environment. So that will certainly be more challenging. I agree that, the junior high kids today, they just have grown up in such a different world. You know, when I was in junior high, there was no TV with any gay person on TV at all. I remember when Ellen came out on her show, that was the biggest deal at that time. And my kids have grown up with every example of someone living the life that they want to lead, and they know that's okay. So I'm sure when they hear all these news stories on this, they think, boy, here they go again, overreacting on these issues because it's just not a big deal.
So moving on now to an item that Kim suggested. It is finally feeling like springtime, and that means for some of us, we'll be cleaning up the house and there will be an influx of garage sales. Kim, you have some tips for both decluttering and saving money while acquiring new things. And I want to hear from others as well, because I know with just one toddler, we're constantly cycling in and out of used clothes, because the second you buy one pair of pants, she needs the other size up. So, Kim, tell us your secrets.
Well, I think decluttering is a lifelong challenge, and especially for parents, when you add your children to the mix of every year, your body's changing, you're growing, you're going out of things, you have new interests, etc. It's just a constant need to purge what you have. And I can recall, even when my girls were very little, I've always been trying to instill with them that when new things come in, you need to take a look at things that you have and take some things out, and how nice it is to share your things with other people. Of course, that you know, for your daughter, you know, you want to say there's a benefit to this. If you pass this on, someone else is going to enjoy it. So ironically, in a couple weeks, our neighborhood is having a garage sale, and that's something on Springfield Moms that we showcase are the list of neighborhood garage sales. That's always been my best tip, is to go to those rather than individual sales, because in the neighborhood garage sales, you go to one neighborhood, you can hit so many at once. But most importantly, for parents with younger kids, you can just, you know, get some fabulous deals on toys that you've wanted, or outdoor equipment or sports equipment, Halloween costumes. Just think it's really important to involve your kids into the why you're decluttering, and how you can pass it on, whether through a garage sale or through donating to your favorite charitable organization.
And Najima, you mentioned you have a younger son, a six-year-old, but also one who's moved out. And we were talking earlier with the other two guests about how sometimes you have kids who move on, but their stuff does not. So with two boys.
Well, I'm all for the blessing, and I call anything that we can give or receive a blessing. I buy particularly a lot of the younger ones clothing from garage sales and friends. They pass along clothing that their children have outgrown, and I think those are amazing ways to recycle and keep some really good things within our, you know, mom community. I also have a rule that if you haven't worn it for a season, that it goes. So I'm constantly reevaluating my wardrobe because I think that I want to wear something next spring. But when I hang it up and it goes a whole season without being worn, I know that, you know, it's time for it to go.
Kelly, I can't even imagine having six kids and the amount of stuff. Spring,
luckily, so. They weren't all in the house at the same time. So two of them are what I call my bonus children from through marriage. But but they have, some of them have cycled back through the house. And, you know, mom, I'm moving back home. And that's been fine. And we've relegated them to the basement. So if anyone wants to move back home, you get to go to the basement, which means you also have to clean up the basement when you're down there. Another clothing trick that someone taught me years ago is to take safety pins and put them in all your clothes. Once you wear something, you take the safety pin off because you've clearly liked it enough to wear it. At the end of the season, if you have anything with a safety pin still in it, you did not wear it, you must get rid of it. Mm. It has to go.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and if you'd make that challenge with your spouse or significant other in the household and say, okay, I'm doing this. Are you going to do this? Because I think you get so emotionally attached to clothes that you think, oh, I'll wear this cardigan when I'm out gardening. Or, you know, this is going to be my paint pair of jeans. If you have a commitment of, hey, I'm doing this. And
for me, it was a top that I got from Contempo Casuals in high school. I'm like, that's never going away. Gosh. You don't understand. That is going back in I will get rid of five other things, but that's not leaving. Do you understand that?
I think we all deserve like a memory box, right?
Yes.
Right. Something just for those. But as a thrift store enthusiast, I've gotten finally to the point where I realize you just have to fill up a bag every few months or so, or you'll just go crazy with the amount of clutter. So that's it for today's P Unit segment, a brand new series where we'll be talking with Illinois parents about issues of the day and age-old dilemmas that affect those of us raising kids. You can find the recording of this, if you miss part, online. Just look for the Illinois Edition Facebook page for the link. I've been joined by Kelly Wickham Hurst, Najima McIntyre, and Kim Leisner. For Illinois Edition, I'm Rachel Otwell.